Southeast Conference comes to Haines, and Skagway works on a plan to remove contamination from its harbor basin. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. The Southeast Conference annual meeting will take place in Haines next year. Mayor Jan Hill, Tracy Harmon, and Tammy Piper successfully bid for the event during this year's meeting in Sitka. The annual meeting brings together members of the business community for 3 days of presentations, workshops, and networking. Hill says the event will draw over 200 people to Haines next September. As of 5 p.m. Wednesday, hunters have reported 16 moose during the Tier 2 moose hunt in Haines. According to fish and game biologist Carl Koch, 3 moose had antlers wider than 50 inches, 3 had spike fork antlers, and 10 had antlers with 3 brow tines. The hunt runs through October 7th unless closed by emergency order. The harvest limit is 25 moose. Subsistence salmon fishing in the Chilkat River, which was scheduled to close September 30th, will remain open through October 15th to allow additional subsistence harvest opportunity on late-run sockeye, chum, and coho salmon returning to the Chilkat. Subsistence salmon fishing in Chilkat Inlet north of Glacier Point will be open the Saturday before and during any commercial drift gillnet opening in Section 15A through October 15th. For many years, Skagway has been trying to address contamination of its harbor. At a meeting Tuesday, the municipality met with engineers and environmental experts to discuss the best way to clean up contaminated areas of the harbor basin. While the latest plan would remove most of the contamination, engineers say it will be difficult to remove contaminated sediment from beneath the ore dock while keeping existing infrastructure intact. From 1967 until 1991, Skagway's ore terminal loaded ore onto freighters and barges using an open conveyor system. This industrial activity ended up contaminating the harbor basin. White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad owned the ore terminal before 1991, so the company is on the hook to clean it up. White Pass solicited engineering firm Anchor QEA to analyze the different options available for removing contamination from the harbor. Water resources engineer Derek Ormerod says that mechanical dredging the harbor basin next to the ore dock is the preferred method.
As you can see, it's generally right out front of the ore loader in that part of the ore basin. So that footprint was designed to remove 85% of the accessible contamination in that portion of the ore basin, within the ore basin itself.
But some of the contaminated sediment lies directly beneath the ore dock. Just exactly how much is difficult to say. Anchor QEA estimates that between 10 and 25% of the lead contamination in the ore basin lies beneath the dock. But sampling has been limited due to the challenges of accessing the area. Ormerod says that dredging in front of the dock will remove some sediment from beneath the dock.
Part of the dredge plan is to conduct, a vertical cut at the face of the dock. And with that, there's obviously going to be some amount of sloughing happening from under pier. So this will take some of the softer sediments that are under pier and bring them down into the dredge footprint. So there is a certain amount of material from under the pier that would be removed.
Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, or ADEC, supports the dredging plan put forward by Anchor QEA. However, Blair McDonald, an environmental scientist who helped complete a risk assessment of the ore basin, noted that the remaining contamination will need to be monitored.
Ultimately, any dredging program, it comes with an obligation to monitor. It may require institutional controls to make sure that the risks are being managed once the mass that can be accessed is removed and taken away. There still is not just a bow on it that says, that's it, you never have to do anything ever again. It's got to be part of that management strategy.
Some residents and members of the Skagway Borough Assembly expressed frustration that a complete remediation of the harbor basin couldn't be carried out during renovations at the ore dock. Municipal leaders have repeatedly advocated for improvements at the ore dock. Skagway Port Commission Chair Tom Cochran has suggested that removing the ore loader during renovations could open up access to the contaminated area beneath the dock. But the current owner of the dock, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA, has not indicated that it wants to carry out renovations anytime soon. Work on the dock could disrupt ore shipping, and according to Ada, the new owners of the Minto mine could begin shipping ore out of Skagway as early as next year. Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata expressed his frustrations at the end of the meeting.
I really feel like Ada and jeopardized any kind of possibility for an MOU with the Yukon mining industry at this point. I mean, the community sees this project as something that can't be completed. That's going to have a detrimental effect on future arrangements, and hopefully there's some 11th hour considerations made by these entities that allow us to gain access underneath the docks. I still hold out hope that that could happen.
According to Ormerod with Anchor QEA, dredging contaminated sediment from the harbor could begin as early as next fall. Alaska's largest emergency shelter for victims of domestic violence is growing. The Abused Women's Aid in Crisis expects to break ground on a long-planned expansion this fall. The $4.6 million project will add space for shelter guests to meet with caseworkers and victims' advocates and increase shelter capacity from 52 beds to 67 beds. Some of those new beds will serve male victims of domestic violence. Susie Pearson is the shelter's executive director. She says the expansion will help meet an overwhelming need in the community. The shelter is currently at or over capacity by nearly 50% on average.
Starting about a decade ago, we began to see a significant increase in the number of people that we were serving, and we were going to over capacity levels that were just unprecedented.
The expansion project recently received a $250,000 grant from the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust. Other backers range from the Rasmussen Foundation to the state of Alaska. Construction is expected to last a year. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.